Hi, everyone. This is Special K, Kevin Latchford, the Black Flag Cast. And tonight, my guest is Aki Glancy, a.k.a. Empath P, of the Voca America Project, the Western Vocaloid Concert Project. Aki, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing marvelously. Could you first tell my audience a little bit about yourself?
Well, as you said, I'm called Aki Glancy, or Empath P, and the P in my name stands for producer. I am a producer of Vocaloid works, both my own music. I also produce other musicians under my label Empathy Studios, and also under the label Vocalective, of which I am a contributor. I have been producing Vocaloid works since 2010 is when I started, and I work freelance with the main Western companies who produce Western and English Vocaloids, and I've just been doing this out of a love of music and a love of the technology, and it's been working out so far, so I can't complain.
Most excellent. Well, to begin with, Vocaloid. First, why Vocaloid?
Well, probably in the same way that most people I know got started with Vocaloid or why they got interested in Vocaloid. I was always a fan of Japanese animation and Japanese video games. And the idea, when I got into Vocaloid, it was the year 2008. It was the fall of 2008. And I got attracted to the idea of a program that basically became what you made it. As I was studying animation at the time, I was actually in my second year of college, and I was majoring in animation. I loved the idea of being able to use this virtual technology to create something new and something interesting. At first, I was only into it as a casual fan, but then when I decided that maybe music was something I wanted to do, I became really fascinated by the idea of being able to manipulate these voices. Because what attracts so many people to Vocaloid is that it is what you make it. There is no set story behind it. There is no set thing. It's like, here's this computer voice, and here is a mascot on the computer software's box. Do something with it. And that's what people have done. And I love that. It is beyond any other type of musical phenomenon that exists, because you don't have say a Taylor Swift who has feuds with other musicians, or will do something one night and will disappoint you. Here you have a beautiful singing voice that you are in complete control, and it is what you make it. You can write something with a message, or you can write something that's personal to you. You can just make something fun and cute. The sky's the limit. And I found that very attractive as somebody who is creatively minded.
And how did you start? I mean, many in the Vocaloid community, as some of you all listening may know, was started by the Yamaha Corporation and later on moved in with Krypton Future in later editions. Are you a Yamaha Vocaloid person, or are you a Krypton Future?
Well, funnily enough, I found out about it due to, again, animation. As I was, like I said, I was studying animation. I actually found out about it having absolutely nothing to do with their voices, but having to do with their visual aspect. People who are at all familiar with anime at all or with internet memes will remember a song called Caramel Dancin' that was remixed by a DJ named DJ Speedy Cake. And there was a meme, an online meme going around of this bunny dance that people would animate characters dancing to the bunny dance. And when I was in college, a popular thing that was happening for aspiring animators to do was to essentially rip 3D models from popular video games for you to practice animation with, and you could make your own fan animations of Link or whatever running into a fire and slaying a dragon or something. And I found this animated video featuring these little chibi versions of the Vocaloid characters dancing to Caramel Dancin', doing the bunny dance. And I was like, oh, well, these are cute little 3D models. who are these characters? And they were called Vocaloid. So I looked up what Vocaloid was, found out that, in fact, it was not a video game or anything like that, that it was actually a vocal software. And I was just completely and totally hooked. Now, because of the type of person I am and because I work freelance with these companies, I wanted to learn everything I could about Vocaloid. So I became introduced to the Western Vocaloids very, very quickly afterwards, because anybody who knows, who wants to take the time to learn about Vocaloid will know that Vocaloid did not start with Krypton Future Meter or anything like that. It started in the West, actually, with a company in Manchester called Zero G, who would make the first who would release the first commercial Vocaloids. So, even though my first exposure to Vocaloid was, in fact, with the Japanese ones, Hatsune Miku, Kaito, Meiko, Rin and Len, etc., I gained an appreciation for the earlier versions of the software very, very soon. And I actually have a cool story that I'd like to share with you if you don't mind.
Well, all I have to say is you've left out Luca, Lady Luca.
Well, the funny thing is that Luca came out very soon after I got into Vocaloid. She came out about maybe 2 months after I got into Vocaloid, funnily enough.
Well, what is that story then?
Well, my story is that when I was very young, I was probably about 10 years old, I had a CD called Pure Moods. And Pure Moods had a lot of kind of artsy, new age type music on it. And there was a song on the CD called Adiamus. And I really, really liked the song. It featured a female vocalist and African chants. It was absolutely gorgeous. Well, what happens with time, the CD got all scratched up, and I always intended to get a new copy, but I never did. Fast forward to me in college, I'm already into Vocaloid. I had purchased my very first Vocaloid for my birthday shortly after learning about it, and the Vocaloid's name is Miriam, and she was a Vocaloid 1, the first generation of Vocaloid, and she was voiced by a woman named Miriam Stockley. Well, a couple months after I had purchased Miriam, I went to a used CD store, a CD bookstore and DVD store called Mr. K's, and I found a copy of Pure Moods. I was so excited. I took it home, and I listened to it, and I listened to Adiamus, and I said, I want to find out who this female vocalist is, and so I looked it up.
Lo and behold.
And it was Miriam Stockley, who voiced the first Vocaloid I ever purchased. And it was it felt like fate. I don't know if you believe in fate or if you believe in destiny or whatever, but it really felt that way. And I just freaked out. I was like, oh my gosh, this was meant to happen.
Well, considering that was the title track that, for most of us who grew up in the 90s who know what Pure Moods was, it was the one that was always highlighted in the infomercial, and Miriam Stockley is a very, very talented vocalist, so it's very interesting that it comes up that way. But, you know, on that subject of English Vocaloids, there are many English Vocaloids that many of us will know in this country, but for most hardcore anime fans and such, there are but three of the original bilingual, and that being Kaito, Meiko, and Luca. Which was the one that you think captured the English one, the English voice? And who is your favorite native English, non-bilingual Vocaloid?
Oh, dear. Let's see. Well, when Luca came out, she was the first bilingual Vocaloid, and that had never been attempted before. And so I think I kind of have to hold her up on a bit of a pedestal because of that. Even when her upgrade came out recently, she had gotten upgraded in the past year or two. With her being upgraded to Vocaloid 4, and she got re-recorded and all that. And I wasn't necessarily super impressed with her upgrade, especially knowing her voice actress's capabilities in English. But that being said, she was the first bilingual Vocaloid, and I have to hold her up on a bit of a pedestal because of that. So I think if anybody were to ask me who is my favorite bilingual Vocaloid, in terms of voice, I would probably choose someone else, but in terms of just overall love and nostalgic purposes, I would have to choose Megurine Luca, just because she was the first. She set the tone for everyone else. In terms of What was the other question? And my favorite.
What is your favorite native English Vocaloid?
Native English. Well, I have to say I'm a little bit biased. For those of you who don't know of my own work, in 2014, I was actually asked to record a new English Vocaloid voice bank, and her name is Dinah. And so I think I have to choose Dinah just because she's the one I know the ins and outs of, and because it's my voice, so I know how to work it. But if I didn't choose Dinah, it would definitely be Ivana. And again, that may be biased because I illustrated for Ivana, but no, honestly, Ivana has proven to be a star. She's proven to be just absolutely fantastic. People love her voice. Even the cynics eventually, you know, were like, oh, okay, she's great, whatever. So so I would probably maybe say it's a tie between Ivana and Dinah. Dinah, because I voiced her and I know how she works. Ivana, because she is gorgeous and beautiful. And producers who have know nothing about Vocaloid enjoy her voice and will use her. Which has been proven over the past 3 years that, you know, she is an attractive program for producers who aren't into the whole Vocaloid culture thing.
Very good. Now, taking a sidestep for a moment, you discussed that your love of Vocaloid and such came as a result of your liking for Japanese animation, Japanese video games. And I would also hazard to guess maybe there might be a little bit of Japanese graphic novels, manga, mixed in there as well. What's your favorite animes that, like, you know, kind of influenced your fandom?
Escaflowne. If there's one anime I could say I love more than Vocaloid, it's Escaflowne. Escaflowne was the first introduction for me into adult anime, if that makes sense. It wasn't really an adult story, but it was gritty. It was something different. At that point, I had only been exposed to the Moomins and Pokemon and Digimon, which, you know, in their respective countries, not being heavily edited by 4Kids, they had some gritty moments, but those gritty moments didn't really translate when they brought it over to the United States. But Escaflowne did. Cardcaptor Sakura, again, I watched the English version, which was heavily censored, but was still pretty darn good and visually just gorgeous, animation-wise, just absolutely, just staggeringly beautiful. What's another one? Probably, one that I keep coming back to, I've only watched it all the way through once, but it's one that I constantly think about, and that is Earth Maiden Arjuna. It's an anime that I had wanted to see for a long time. I didn't get to see it until high school, but after watching it, it left a huge impression upon me. It's not necessarily one that lends itself to easy viewing. It has a heavy message, and it's very intricate in terms of plot, but visually, it's gorgeous. I cannot recommend it enough. If you just want to have your eyes be dazzled for 13 episodes, it's one that I always recommend to people if they want to get to know me.
Well, hopefully, unlike the Porygon episode of Pokemon, it won't induce a seizure.
No, not like that. Oh, and one other, Wolf's Rain.
Yeah.
Wolf's Rain, again, another staggeringly beautiful animated series, and sad. So sad. I tend to err more towards anime. Everybody will know that my favorite anime of all time is Clannad. Aside from Escaflowne, Clannad is my favorite because sometimes I just need to cry for about 5 hours. And so, and Clannad is just one of those animes that's so heavy in terms of the emotional roller coaster it puts you on. So, but definitely, above all else, I would say Escaflowne. If you want to nitpick, this could be technically considered an anime, but it was made by a Western studio with Japanese animators, so it's a little complicated. But The Last Unicorn.
Not a bad one.
The Last Unicorn, which people, you know, if you're interested, will know the animators who worked on it. Most of them went on to work for Studio Ghibli. Yeah. So.
Now, as far as video games, I mean, what kind of games did you like, especially those imported from Japan? And are you more retro or contemporary gamer these days?
I just like gaming when I can find the time more than anything else. It's more just finding the time. In terms of the game, I didn't get into gaming till I was more in high school. Not because I didn't want to, but because my parents didn't want to waste money on game consoles because they thought it was a waste of time. So I played a lot of board games instead as a kid. But probably... Final Fantasy were some of the first games I played by myself. Final Fantasy VIII, I know a lot of people don't like Final Fantasy VIII, but Final Fantasy VIII has always been my favorite. And I'm not just saying that because I think Squall's attractive. I'm saying that because I just enjoyed the game. Kingdom Hearts, without a doubt. Kingdom Hearts was just... That was the first instance I ever saw of... outside of like weird Power Ranger collaborations, but a crossover that did something weird, but it worked. Who would have thought Disney and Final Fantasy teaming up would make one of the most amazing series of all time? And then, Majora's Mask influenced me a lot. I can remember renting Majora's Mask, as a kid, I had a hard time with it, but I never beat it myself, but I played it so much and I loved it so much. Just the world and the colors and the creatures and the mysteries surrounding it, I loved. And there was one more. Well, Pokemon. And I have a funny Pokemon story, and that is that my mother thought Pokemon was going to be a phase. And I was like, it's not going to be a phase, Mom. I really like it. And she's like, well, I'll make you a deal. When you turn 12, if you're still into Pokemon, I will buy you a Pokemon game. I was like, why can't you just do it now? And she's like, that's the deal. Take it or leave it. So I said, fine. And sure enough, here I am, 27 years old. And I'm like, oh my God, when is the new Pokemon coming out? So she realized very soon or very quickly that this was not going to be a phase.
Unfortunately, that's just the life of us fans. We're simply lost causes.
Exactly.
Now, on the subject, now I would like to ask one thing on anime before we move along. I mean, what do you think about now a lot of these anime, such as recently with Sailor Moon coming out, completely uncut, unedited?
I'll be perfectly honest. I never got to see Sailor Moon as a kid, and not because I wouldn't have wanted to, but because we didn't have the channels growing up. I had basic cable, and our basic cable did not include channels like Cartoon Network. We had Kids WB and Fox Kids. Any anime that was on those shows is the anime I watched, hence Escaflowne, Digimon, and Pokemon, and Cardcaptor Sakura. In terms of Sailor Moon, I never got to see it, but I will say I don't watch a lot of new anime. It's kind of a shame. It's not necessarily because I don't want to. It's just sort of like video gaming, finding the time outside of working on Vocaloid and then working my main job. It's I basically have two jobs. One is freelance and one is working it as a barista. And so... it's just finding the time to do all of that when there's other things I want to be working on. Not things that I don't enjoy. Obviously, I enjoy them, but, you know, there's so much... it's so funny. When people say video games are a waste of time, I still don't believe that that's true, but there's other things that I need to do with my time, and I feel sad that I don't have that time to... play those games anymore. It makes me really sad. I'm like, oh God, I miss college when I had time to play video games or watch anime. So yeah, I in terms of animation now and like what's coming out and re-releasing stuff or things getting remade or whatever, to be honest, I don't know how to feel about it because I just haven't been able to watch anything. It's sad.
Well, let's discuss the thing that does distract you from your two other favorite pastimes, and more specifically, your project, Voca America, the Western Vocaloid Concert Project.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what is it, and where was the inspiration for it?
Well, Voc America is a Western Vocaloid concert project, fan produced, which means that I'm doing it basically all myself out of pocket, with the exception of what I have now made from Kickstarter. I actually had a very successful Kickstarter project that ended yesterday at 7:15 p.m. EDT, and we made a little over $20,000, I think it was like $21,000, give or take what people may have to cancel pledges or whatnot, and I had asked for $5,000, and so we were 400% funded, basically what this project is that it is, like I said, it's a fan-produced concert. Now, Vocaloid concerts have been going on since about 2009, or 2010 roundabouts. Vocaloid concerts have become a thing. And basically what it is that it's music made by myself and my producer friends using certain Vocaloids, Western Vocaloids to be exact, so any Vocaloid that sings in English or a European language. And instead of having us perform it, the actual mascots for the software will perform it in a holographic projection. That means that we have a holographic screen and a projector, which creates it's not a false, because it technically is like a three-dimensional image, but it's, you know what it is, it's like a projection. And so the characters, I guess if in layman's terms, if anybody remembers the Gorillaz, and anybody who saw the Gorillaz perform live, it's a similar idea. And so our performers will be singing like that, but what makes it so unique is that these characters don't exist in real life. Their voice is a computer program, and they're a projection. So it makes it a lot of fun. And what makes Voc America unique as well is that we only will be featuring Western programs. Nobody has ever attempted to have a concert that did not feature programs made from Japan, China, or Korea. The reason being is that the companies who make the Western software have just not been interested in what Vocaloid, the Vocaloid culture that it has become, not because they don't appreciate it, but because that's not what they focus on, which is completely and totally understandable. But I, being the type of person I am, working freelance with these companies and also being a fan of the subculture of Vocaloid, thought that the best way to educate people about Vocaloid in terms of the Western programs, or to get them interested in these English or European singers, is to have a concert in a way that they have come to expect from the Japanese singers. What really spawned the idea was, as I had said, I voiced a new Vocaloid program called Dyna, and originally Voc America was conceived as a mini featurette that would be at a convention during one of my panels that would be feature three songs, and it would just feature Dyna and the male counterpart to her voice, Dex, who was voiced by my friend Mr. Sam Blakesley, aka Kenji B, aka No Straight Answer, and they would just perform, and it would be like, yay, two new Vocaloids, how exciting, look at them dancing about. But I wanted, as I started to work on it, I was like, I could make this bigger, I could make this grander. So I started to talk to the companies, and I added more singers, and I expanded it to the point where now we have six performers: Dex, Dyna, the English Vocaloid Ruby, the Spanish Vocaloid Micah, and then two programs that are not Vocaloids. They're what are called Utao. Utao is a freeware program similar to Vocaloid. What makes Utao unique is that you can create a program based off samples of your own voice. And so we have one named Aiko Kikune, who's voiced by my friend Miss Sapphire, who got me into actually making original, or, well, making fan works of using Utao and Vocaloids. And then we have an Utao made from samples of my voice named Namida. Now, the reason we're featuring Namida is because she's also the mascot for my studio, which is Empathy Studios, who is, of course, sponsoring the project. The concert will be held at Hampton, Virginia, at the Embassy Suites and Convention Center, right across the street from the Coliseum. And it's going to be held at the convention NecoCon, which is from the 4th to the 6th of November. And as it's a fan-produced event, I think the thing that I'm trying to stress upon for people is that don't come to this concert expecting it to be like one of the concerts put on by the Japanese or Chinese or Korean companies, because those are concerts funded by record studios and by multi-million dollar corporations, whereas my concert is funded by me and I live in my parents' house. So you know, don't expect it to be anything more than what it's going to be. And if it does end up being more, then you'll be pleasantly surprised. So it's going to be a lot of fun, though. We're going to have a lot of fun. NekoCon's excited. I'm excited. My backers are excited. It's just a way for people to learn more about Western Vocaloids and share their love of it and have fun. Throw some glow sticks around and dance around and see some holographic characters sing for you.
Awesome. Now, let's actually get to the Kickstarter here. Now, let me just state this. I would imagine this is a success beyond your expectations.
Oh, without a doubt. I had asked for $5,000 initially. I didn't even think that we were going to get $5,000. I said, hopefully we'll make the $5,000. If we don't, then at least people will see that this is a project that's happening, and it may garner some interest later on for people to come to the concert. So I was completely and totally prepared to fail. And I've said from the beginning when I started this project is that, you know, I could completely fail at this. I could not have any money by the end of this. I could be in so much debt that I'll just get to curl up into a ball and die. You know, it's like, but I felt like it was something I had to try. So I had been planning the Kickstarter for months before it came out, almost half a year before it came out. And then we were, you know, I had to get permission from NekoCon to do it. And then when they gave their okay, we released it into the world. We were funded in less than 48 hours. We reached $5,000. And then just the pledges kept coming in. I added new stretch goals, new things that if we made certain amounts of money, that I would try to get the new singers or new merchandise added. And people really, 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 really jumped to it. They were really excited for it. And then as it continued, even the cynics, even people who were kind of like, oh, well, I don't know if I want to support this project, they realized really what I was trying to do. And I'll tell you one thing that's the most amazing, and it's totally what I wanted to happen, is I saw an influx in Western Vocaloid usage. I saw a bigger influx in Western Vocaloid usage within the 35 days that my Kickstarter progressed than I have in almost a year with the new Vocaloids coming out, which is just exactly what I wanted. That was exactly what I was hoping, is that even if people couldn't contribute, their interest was piqued. Well, let's check out these programs. Let's see what they're capable of. And they did, and now people are using them more than ever, and people are excited for them. And that makes me excited, because that's what I wanted them to feel towards these programs. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Speaking on it, you talk about this now peaked interest in Vocaloids and stuff. I mean, this is actually a part of a larger trend. I mean, people are actually talking about it. Recently, there was a sold-out show in our neck of the woods up in New York last May, where it was a sold-out show in I believe it was Manhattan, for Hatsune Miku.
I was there.
There you go. And unfortunately, I was not, because my friends decided to drop out of the operation. But the Vocaloid popularity outside of Japan, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, considering, do you see yourself as kind of riding that wave of, you know, of major interest as it's, you know, as it's growing in the West?
Well, here's the thing. The biggest thing about Western Vocaloids is that up to a certain point, they haven't done the same thing that the Japanese ones have done. You mentioned Hatsune Miku, and the thing about Hatsune Miku is that she was made due to the company being desperate to make their next Vocaloid project be a success, because the last time they had released a Vocaloid previously, the year previous, it had been a commercial failure. And so they had to appeal to what we call the otaku market. Now, they didn't want to, I've even had discussions with the CEO himself, but but they did love what they made. And then it spawned this whole idea of a visual medium in addition to the musical medium. The Western companies, though, were more reluctant to do that. They wanted to kind of hold on to the voice rather than give in to what was soon becoming a visual culture. And they did. They held on to that as hard as they could, but they have been slowly branching out and are willing to try new things. And the whole thing about what I think is going to happen in the future is that I think there's going to be a merging of the two ideals. The idea of the voice being able to just be a voice and then the character being something that people can enjoy and experience in concerts and stuff. I would say the best example I can tell you of what I think for what direction the Western community is headed down is the usage of the Vocaloid of Ivana in the song Sad Machine. There's a young gentleman who I'm acquainted with. His name is Porter Robinson, and he is a music producer and very talented young man, absolutely fantastic musician. And he had purchased Ivana and used her on his album. He used her three times on his album for three separate songs, which were some of the biggest hits of his album. But he didn't claim, oh, I used a Vocaloid. Oh, I used Ivana. Oh, this is Porter Robinson featuring Ivana. No, he just said, Porter Robinson, Sad Machine. And when people asked, he said, I used a vocal synth for the vocals. He didn't say, oh, I used Vocaloid. Oh, I used Ivana. I'm such a big Vocaloid fan. He just said, I'm a musician. I use a vocal software. Because that, to him, that's what it was. And that originally was what the Western companies wanted. It's just a tool. Vocaloid, in some respects, is no different from using a guitar by a certain brand that you like the way that their guitars sound. It's like, oh, I use Ivana because I like the way she sounds. I like the way her voice sounds. So I think that there's going to be a merger in the West with the voice and the concert, or the otaku, or the more visual medium based culture. I think that those two will merge together and continue down a road here in the West. And the one thing I always see people are constantly saying, "Oh, Vocaloid is dying. Oh, Vocaloid is headed for its own doom." And I don't really think that that's true. I think that with all things, we have fluctuations. We have moments when there's nothing happening, it seems like Vocaloid's dying, and then we have huge, massive fluctuations of new activity, new Vocaloids being made, new albums being released, new concerts being held. So I do think that the future for what Vocaloid could become in the West is really truly beginning now. It's been going on for a little while in small pockets, but I think it's really starting to catch on in terms of mainstream musicians considering it something that could possibly be viable. So.
And do you believe it's like a future in music? Because there are increased artists using Vocaloid and being fans of Vocaloid.
I absolutely do. Like I said, you're seeing more mainstream producers becoming interested. Maybe not using it, but being like, this is something I should keep my eye on, type thing. It's becoming more of something that people can use. Now, in the end, I do have to acknowledge the fact that I do think people are always going to choose the human singer if given the chance. Unless they really love Vocaloid like I do, because it's very hard to make a career out of what it is I do, which is why I work a day job. It's one of those things where there's definitely a future for it, and it's definitely going to grow. I don't know what it will become here in the West, but it's going to become something. But in the end, will people be able to make a living off of it the same way that they do in Japan, where we have producers who do nothing but make Vocaloid music? I just have no way of knowing. That would be nice, because then I could quit my day job. But The thing about Vocaloid is that it's always going to surprise you. It's never going to do what you think it's going to do, and it's always going to surprise you. And that can be both a blessing and a curse, but hopefully it will mostly just be a blessing.
Indeed. Do you think that, like, you know, a lot of artists, you know, complain about Pro Tools and all these other synthetic things. Do you think that Vocaloid kind of transcends that and basically kind of says it kind of goes back to that back to basics, do it yourself, such as found predominantly in the punk genre? Do you think that kind of thing is maybe what's making it now very appealing to them, and that, you know, it's designed for the indie artist to be expressive?
Absolutely. And what people may not, I think a lot of people take this for granted. Vocaloid is not a plug and play medium. It's like with any other instrument. You got to practice with it, you got to get good at it, you got to learn how that instrument works, and only then will it sound good. It's sort of like my friend when she was taking violin lessons, and she, you know, you would see this woman who knows how to play the violin, her teacher, just hold the violin and just make the most beautiful music. And then you'd see my friend pick up the violin and be like, and you'd be like, well, she's holding it the same way that the woman was, and she's seems to be doing, why isn't the pretty music coming out? It's the exact same thing with Vocaloid. Yes, it will sing for you, but you gotta tune that voice. You gotta edit that voice. You gotta make it sound like a person. It's not, you know, you're not gonna get all these things. The thing about Vocaloid is that people who use it, you have to add your own vibrato to the voice. It makes the difference of, you know, it separates you from going ah to where your voice will shake and you'll have that, you know, tremolo effect. You have to fix pitches where, for instance, sometimes the voice goes flat, and there's ways of fixing that in the Vocaloid editor. You don't have to use autotune unless you want to. You have to make the voice expressive. It's not going to just automatically sound like there's emotion in the voice. You know, you have to do certain editing things and do pitch bends and do this, that, and the other to make the voice sound like a person. If that's the type of result you want. But that's the great thing about Vocaloid, is that if you don't want it to sound like a person, you can make it sound any way you want. You can make it sound robotic, you can make it sound sweet or powerful or whispery. You know, there's so many things that the Vocaloid voice is capable of, and the thing that appeals to people is that they have the complete and total control. You know, you can tell a musician or a singer what you want, and they'll do it the best that they can, but in the end, you weren't in control of their voice. If they give you something and there's a part in it that you don't like, you either have to have them re-record, or you have to accept it as it is. That is not the case with Vocaloid. You can edit that voice, or edit that part, or edit that sequence in any way you want until it is exactly the way you want it. And it's awesome.
So this is the kind of music things that, yeah, the mainstream could take, but even a hardcore, you know, do-it-yourselfer like Henry Rollins or Jello Biafra could, you know, put his own mark on it.
Absolutely. The thing about it is that people should not see it as anything less than what it is, or anything more than what it is. It doesn't have to be a cute Japanese schoolgirl dancing around on stage for you. It's a program. It's a tool. If you don't want to be involved with that thing, don't be. Use it as a voice. Use it as a program. If you are just somebody who is fond of working with new technologies, especially if you are musically inclined and love working with music technologies, use it as a tool, because that's what it is. But if you like that other stuff, then good. Only take from it what you want to take from it. You know, nobody will, you know, I think probably the hardest thing about being a Vocaloid producer is I call being a Vocaloid producer being a music producer for introverts, because a lot of times if you have fans that like your music and acknowledge the fact that you write music, they'll be like, yay, I love your song Empath P, it was great. But often, more often than not, I get comments saying, oh, I love Miku. Oh, she's so great. This Miku song is great. It's wonderful. Isn't Miku great, everybody? It's like, you know, that I made her sing. She wouldn't have done it if I hadn't control. You know what? Just go over there. You're fine. So that's the type of thing, is that, you know, if anybody who is planning to use the Vocaloid,
it's kind of odds and ends come to life, huh?
Exactly. It can be frustrating at times, but if it's something that you want to try, I definitely recommend it to people who aren't even into the Vocaloid subcultures. If you're a musician and you want to try something fun, give it a shot. It's also really great if you want to make vocals or send or do vocals that are backing vocals. You can just do it as backing vocals. Or if you're working with a musician, you can use the software, have the Vocaloid sing it first, then send it to the musician saying, this is kind of how I want you to sing it. And it's a great tool like that. I do that all the time when I work with actual singers, is I will make a Vocaloid version first and send it to them and be like, here's how it's supposed to be sung. Or here's how the melody goes, or here's where the lyrics are supposed to go. And they'll be like, oh, okay, well, that helps. And that's a great way of using it. And you can also use it to help you learn to sing yourself or learn to make melodies. It's really great. They even started using it educationally in Japan, in schools, just to help music students.
There you go. But being that as it may, I mean, do you think that with all this user input and such, do you think that it's becoming that through the fans it's taking on a life of its own, or do you think it's still kind of well within the confines of its original design?
It's definitely a crossroad of the two. To the musicians, it is what it was intended to be. It is a tool. It is a music instrument that we can use to make singing. And for the people who are producers, it will remain that way. I think a lot, and this is funny, I think a lot of people become disenchanted with the Vocaloid once they actually buy it and they realize, oh, this is a lot more work than I thought it was going to be. I just thought it would be plug and play and I could make fun music and become popular on the internet and do all these fun music videos and stuff. That's not the case at all. It's work. It's something you have to work at and practice with. So I think some people will get disillusioned once they buy a Vocaloid, but the thing is that in terms of the producers, it will always be what it was intended to be. But for the community, it's become so much more. And that's why I say there is, in the West, there really is becoming a huge merger of the two. I would say the one thing I would say to people is that don't write either of the things off. If you like one particular thing and you prefer and you don't really know how you feel about the other thing, you know, give it a little bit of research. You don't have to like it. If you decide you don't like it, then don't focus on it. But it may help you in better understanding not only what you're getting into as a music producer, but the people who will later, you know, become attracted to your music. The greatest example I can think of is that I wrote a Vocaloid song recently because I actually got a new composing software, and I wrote a song called Secret Garden. Now, Secret Garden was based on the game Undertale, and also based off an AU called Flowerfell, where it takes the characters and it kind of creates a scenario that's really dark and really sad. And I wrote Secret Garden, and it ended up being a tremendous hit, not even among the Vocaloid community, but among the Undertale community. And so all these people from the Undertale community were commenting on the song and watching the song and leaving comments. And I was like, oh, what did I get myself into? I just wrote this song because I liked the game and I liked the song. I didn't expect the influx of this other community to come on. I was only expecting the Vocaloid fans to come. So it was really interesting, and I feel like that's a really great example. So people who do use Vocaloid, definitely expect those Vocaloid fans to come and make a statement, because they definitely will. but don't worry about it, because for the most part, we don't bite. Except for the 13-year-olds who get really, really angry at everything, and they bite very hard. No offense to any of my 13-year-old fans who happen to be very opinionated.
Hey, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
Well, is there anything else you'd like to tell my audience about Voca America or anything else?
Well, it can't continue to grow without people's support. A lot of people were asking me if I was planning to do another Kickstarter. At this point, I'm saying no. But just support the show. At the moment, we're not going to be selling tickets. It's going to be free to attend. You have to pay for the badge for NekoCon, but the concert itself is completely free. The only way I will be making my money back is through the sales of concert merchandise. And it's going to, you know, hopefully people will like the merchandise because I've done almost all of it myself, which really sucks because there was a lot of artwork to do and still a lot of artwork to do. There's plenty of stuff I have to do that's left. Just show your support, share the project around. If this is something that you guys want to see come to your hometown, maybe recommend it to a convention that you have nearby. I'm going to be, after the first concert, I'm going to be basically, selling it or not necessarily, not selling it, but, what's the word? Sort
promoting
of traips
it?
Promoting it. I knew it was a P word. Promoting it to several conventions that are local, like KatsuCon, Otakon, etc. But if there's a convention in your area where you want this concert to come to, feel free to recommend the project. Say, hey, look, they had a Kickstarter page. They did all this, that, and the other. Because I can't go to these places without having somewhere to stay, essentially, and everything takes money. Everything in this world takes money, and it is a lot of money for me right now to travel. So just share the project. If you're interested, feel free to send me inquiries. I'm always open to talking to animators or choreographers and stuff. There's a lot of work for me to be doing in the next several months, and so I'm going to be very focused on doing it, but I do try to reply to emails as soon as possible. Anybody can always email me at akiglancy@hotmail.com. That's akiglancy@hotmail.com. I always try to reply back. It may be a late reply, but I always try to reply back. Just give this project some love. Keep in mind, it is a fan-produced concert. Other than that, you know, thank you guys. I just want to say thank you for supporting the Kickstarter and supporting me. And the companies take notice. They see these all these people pledging for the concert and all these people showing their support to their Vocaloids, and they deeply appreciate it. So, well done to the community.
And do you have any sites where people might be able to find you or the project?
Yes, you can. Well, obviously, you can see what the Kickstarter was. I have a Facebook. It's Vocaloid Producer Empath P. Or you can just search Empath P on Facebook. You should be able to find it. YouTube is Empath P or Aki Glancy. Either of those two, you'll be able to find my YouTube page. Those are probably the main ones I would recommend. I'm also on Twitter at Aki Glancy. So basically, if you just search Aki Glancy or Empath P anywhere, you'll find me.
Awesome. Well, Aki, I want to thank you very much for taking the time to speak with me this evening.
Well, thank you. It was my pleasure.
And I wish you the best of luck in your venture.
Thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
No worries. This is Special K of the Black Flag Cast.